These are the basic things that you need. You always want to have some gloves, and you should have some eyewear protection just because, you know, just to be really safe. But what we do is a lot of people go get vegetable oil from the back of a restaurant, or they have a relationship with the owner of the restaurant, and they either deliver the oil to them, or you just go pick it up in these like little 5-gallon jugs. This is actually from Gregoire's, which is a restaurant in Berkeley. It's kind of like a fancy restaurant. And we usually want to try to get sort of fancy oil because it's cleaner and that makes better biodiesel. And,
is that the color you're hunting for when you collect it?
The color, it's not, no, I mean, it depends on the source. This is peanut oil, so it's a little darker. But a canola oil is fine. But yeah, sometimes you can eyeball it just by looking at the color.
What are you hunting for in color?
In color, well, it just varies depending on the feedstock. So this is peanut oil, so it's darker, but it doesn't necessarily mean, just because it's darker doesn't mean anything. So it's just, you want it to be clear. You don't want a bunch of chunks or bloated rats in it, probably not. You can also, a really good way to do, I can't open this, but a really good thing to do is to smell the oil, and you can kind of sense if it's gone rancid or if it's just like has been used like 16,000 times and then finally dumped. So that's what we look for. It's also good to actually just have a relationship with the restaurant owner, so you can sort of ask them how often you change your fryer tanks. And a lot of like places will tell, you know, they'll tell you straight up. So anyway, this guy, he only uses it once, so we love that. But the other problem is actually peanut oil, and some people do have peanut allergies, so you kind of want to watch out for things like that. So that first step is to get the oil. Now, when we get the oil, a lot of times, if you're really pro, you will bring a little titration kit, and I didn't bring one, but that is to just test the sort of acid, how much, just sort of to test the oil to see how quality it is. And it involves like having some phenol red and some isopropyl alcohol, and you just do a couple tests, and then you can generally tell, how many, if it's turned acidic and it's like kind of rancid, then it'll be, the test will take a long time to make the indicator turn red. So anyway, that's how you know. So usually you do a test like that. Now, you also do that titration test before you're going to make biodiesel, because it indicates how, I should have brought a recipe, but I didn't, but it indicates how much lye you're gonna need to actually make the reaction go fully through. So that's what you want to do, the titration. Now this stuff tested really, really good, so we only had to add an extra 0.5 grams of lye in addition to the standard, which is 3.5 grams per liter. This is a half liter, so we halved it. But so that's what you do first. So that tells you how much lye. Now this is sodium methoxide. It's methanol, which is, we buy a product called Heat. I don't even know what it's for. It's like, what is Heat for? Do you know?
Take the water out of your fuel tank.
Oh, okay. It's like an automotive product to get the water out of your fuel tank. And it's basically, it's methanol, which is wood alcohol. Now, and this is just for the blender batch because you don't want to use your good methanol. You're just doing this test, so. And then you add the lye to it very carefully with your goggles on, and then this creates, it makes heat, and it causes a chemical reaction to create sodium methoxide, which is a really strong reactant. And what's going to happen is, and this is at 20%, okay? So biodiesel is 80% vegetable oil and then 20% this stuff. Now, some people are able to make biodiesel using ethanol, which is renewable, and so we prefer that method. And people are doing that with some success. That's in the works. So that's that. And what you're going to do is pour this in to the vegetable oil. Now, if you're at home and not at Chrissy Field, you would heat up this oil because the chemical reaction happens a little bit faster because the molecules are moving faster when it's hot. And so you heat up the oil. And then you pour in the sodium methoxide. and that causes a chemical reaction called transesterification, which is knocking off of fatty acids of the oil. So you're actually making the oil less viscous, so it's not as thick. When it's done, when you see biodiesel, it's significantly less thick than this. This is pretty like viscous, you know, you can see it's kind of sloshing around, and it's like a little sticky. So that's what you're trying to do, is knock off these extra fatty acids. So I would pour it in, and I would just shake it for like 15 minutes. People who do this at home also, they'll warm it, and then they'll put it in a blender, and the blender just like makes the chemical reaction happen a lot faster. So then you shake it for like probably 15 minutes and in a jar like this, really, you know, like vigorously. And I was excited to do that here. But that's not going to happen. And then you wait for it to settle. So you just put the jar down and you let it settle. And what you'll see is, you know, the reaction was happening during those 15 minutes that you were shaking. And then what happens is you'll see 20%, because you added 20% of the methanol, the sodium methoxide, 20% of it has reacted and it's become glycerin. And it's really, really dark. It's like maroon. It's like the color of that photo album there. So that's how you know, and it'll be a distinct layer. So it'll be glycerin, and the top is biodiesel, so that's what you want. And so what we do when we're doing a blender batch how long do we have to shake it before the reaction happen? How is this 20%, did that fall out? Was it a complete reaction? Because this is the reactant, so you want to have that come out in the reaction, in the final, waste product. And then you're also looking to see what the quality of the biodiesel looks like. So usually you can tell it's, when this falls out, it's pretty clear. It's obviously much lighter than oil. And you also want to make sure that there's not oil, like the finished product, because that means you probably didn't use enough light. So that is what you do. Now, when you're doing home brewing, and I think, is someone going to do a talk about the processor? Anyway, someone might. But so when you're doing home brewing, what you do is, like, pretend like this is that giant container. So you have this glycerin here on the bottom, you just use gravity to get it out. So you just tap the thing and it pours out, and you collect the glycerin. Now everyone asks us, what do you do with the glycerin?
Yeah.
Some people make soap out of it, what you do is you just let it sort of, one thing is that you probably want to get any of the methanol out of it. And there are people that they made like a still. And so they just cook the glycerin, and then the methanol comes up out of the still, and then you tap it, and then you get your methanol back. Now, that's what most people who are doing professional, like huge quantity biodiesel, like huge plants or whatever, that's what they do, because methanol is actually kind of expensive. I think it's like $3 or $5 a gallon, something like that. So, you know, it's cost effective for them, and actually more sustainable for them to actually do the... to do methanol recovery. But also what you can do is, if you don't have a still at home, we homebrew at home, and we usually just kind of let it sit around, and the methanol eventually seeps out. It's not the best thing, but we just don't have a still. So, then you can add more lye to the glycerin, and then it makes soap. And I should have brought some of the soap. It's kind of like it's incredibly powerful. It'll remove like lots of grease, and it doesn't, you know, it's not, I wouldn't use it in, you know, like in during your Calgon bath or something. I use it to wash greasy rags and stuff. And I've talked to people who said that they use it as a, to clean their tools and to clean sort of like more like industrial big things that you just want a really good solvent. So that's what's good about the glycerin. Some people also swear that they can compost with it. I would be a little careful of that because of salts that might be in it, but you probably could if you're using a large quantity and you blended it with like, grass clippings and you had sort of like a sponge for it. So then after that, you're left, once you've drained all the glycerin out, then you're left with the biodiesel, and that would be in that tank. And so what you want to do next, and this is a really important step, is that you want to wash your biodiesel. And we wash biodiesel with water. It's just a really simple process. It still has some glycerin in it, even though it hasn't fallen out necessarily. And so what you do is, if I was able to do this, I was going to do it. You add a little water and then you shake it. And it's the same exact thing where the biodiesel floats and the water comes down in the bottom. And the water is often milky white because it's got soaps in it. And then you just drain the water and, you know, put it somewhere. Probably for the first batch, you want to put it down the toilet because it's like black water at that point, you know. It's soapy and maybe there's a little methanol in it. And then the next time you wash it again, and it starts to get clearer, like less, you know, less soaps, and you just wash it until it's clean. So that can take, you know, depending on the quality of your oil and your reaction, that can take like up to maybe 4 washings. But you have to do that because otherwise you're going to put it in your car and it's going to set up. So you don't want that. You want it to be nice and clean, straight biodiesel. So I think that is it. Are there any questions?
Well, you just talked about doing it in that jar. What about doing it in a large quantity?
In a large quantity, we usually,
you're not making it all in that jar for your car. That would take forever.
Yeah, right. No. We'd use this for sure. This is to just test to see how good it is. And also, when you do the washing, if you do it in the jar, then you can be like, oh man, we're going to have to wash this a lot. Maybe we should alter the chemical reaction so we don't have as many soaps. Because it means you probably put too much lye
in.
Right. So then what you do is like, I'm not familiar with this thing, but once you have a processor, right, and it's filled with, you've drained off the glycerin, and then now you're left with the biodiesel. You put it into a wash tank. We have a 55-gallon, it's just a 50-gallon, 55-gallon drum that's just freestanding. It has an open lid, and we just pour water into it. Now, we also use a bubbler because you want to get that, you know, all the soaps and stuff. It just makes it happen a little bit faster, especially in, like, that big industrial, like a 55-gallon volume. So that's what you do, and you just, usually we plug the bubbler in overnight, and then the next day drain the water and wash it, pour it out and then wash it again. So that's kind of how you do that.
Thank you.